This is the Marketplace Morning Report. I'm David Brancaccio.
Is it possible we've come to the end of the era of the indie, fancy yet casual restaurant that can transform a city into a culinary capital? Now, that's the argument in a new book called Burn the Ice, The American Culinary Revolution and Its End by James Beard Award-winning writer Kevin Alexander. He linked up from San Francisco. Thanks for doing this.
Thank you for having me.
Portland, Oregon really flares. You consider it the dawn of that Belle Epoque age of restaurants. But you offer two competing theories for how the powerful New York food critics and writers figured out Portland, Oregon. Give me the first of those theories.
So the first was this major food conference that happened in the late 90s. And basically, all of these chefs and a lot of food media ended up in Portland, and it was late spring. Portland at that time, it can be raining sideways for 2 weeks at a time, but it was perfect weather. They just set it all up beautifully. And really, that was when a lot of the chefs started to say, what's going on in Portland? They've got the vineyards right outside of the city, and this food is actually incredible. So really, this conference, a lot of people point to in the late 90s as first setting the table and planting the seed for what started to become this culinary revolution in Portland.
Great restaurants, the vineyards, it's beautiful weather all the time, like you're in La Jolla. You know, even though it was March in Portland, it was just a lucky stretch, right? Okay, so that was one theory. So everyone's in a very good mood and they start writing nice articles about Portland. Maybe that's what happened. There is a competing conspiracy theory for how Portland, Oregon gets noticed on the food scene. How does that one go?
Did you see that movie Sideways back then?
Right, the wine movie with the embittered wine snob. He finally finds love in Northern California, right? That plays out into this scenario for Portland, Oregon?
Yeah, absolutely. So the movie Sideways comes out. And famously, in Sideways, Paul Giamatti's character says,
and if they want to drink Merlot, we're drinking Merlot.
No, if anybody orders Merlot, I'm leaving. I am not drinking any Merlot.
Okay, relax, Miles.
Merlot sales were already sort of on the decline, but you saw them drop off dramatically after that. And people needed another light-bodied red wine to drink. And Pinot Noir was that wine. And Oregon was set up perfectly for that. So what you really saw was the wine writers first coming out to Portland. And as they're writing about Pinot Noir, they're saying, oh, the food here is really good too. So they tell their food writer buddies, hey, you've got to check out Portland. So really what it comes down to is that because Paul Giamatti's character uttered those words about Merlot, the entire food world changed.
Why do you think this period was so ripe for pushing the food envelope?
You saw this rise of this very specific style of restaurant, right? The Edison bulbs and the reclaimed wood and the farm-to-table food and the craft cocktail programs. And it suddenly seemed like it was everywhere in America. So I wanted to trace that back. And I was looking for sort of that monkey from Outbreak moment. And when I did, I found that Patient Zero seemed to be Portland in 2006.
It's more than just a dining experience, this revolution that you described. It becomes economic development for cities. I mean, I'm from near the other Portland, Maine, and you used to think of Portland as, yeah, you know, and now you think of it as a foodie capital. You go just for that.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And you saw it kind of happen all over the country. So what I really talk about is this Portlandization of America. And it's Portland created this template because they were sort of a culinary backwater before this. And all of a sudden in 2006, they were these national food media darlings. And so other cities who didn't have these long histories and culinary reputations started to say, well, look, if they can do it, why can't we do it? And all of these cities, you know, they started to have this energy and this creativity. And it was really at a really exciting time.
I'm sad to hear the past tense in your voice, but of course I've read the book too. I mean, you make an argument that it was past tense a golden age. Why are we not still living the magic?
First of all, we haven't had a recession in 11 years. In the world of restaurants, that means landlords can raise rents. for 11 straight years. We have rising food costs. There's a market saturation at this point. So there are over 100,000 more restaurants in America today than there were 10 years ago. And as restaurant rents get more expensive, so do residential rents, which means workers getting priced out of being able to afford to live in these cities. And so with less workers, you've got increased competition. Workers are harder to find and keep. They're forced to simplify just to keep it moving. And so basically what all of these factors add up to is that specific restaurant that I've been talking about, the sort of central restaurant of this golden era, the independent, fine, casual dining spot, they're the first to go. They're the ones that can't survive.
But the fact is, right, there's still pockets of innovation. There's still interesting stuff happening. But you're talking broader brush, tectonic plates moving, the major trend.
Yes. I mean, just because this era is passing, it doesn't mean we're suddenly done eating well. Love in America was celebrated in the 60s and money in the 80s. I think that's what we've done with food at this point. And so it's not going away. It's just going to evolve.
Kevin Alexander's new book is called Burn the Ice, The American Culinary Revolution and Its End. Kevin, thanks.
Thank you so much for having me.